Hannah. As soon as judging was over, I rushed back to my room and changed into a workout set and sneakers and went outside for a run. Or at least, that's what I've told myself I'm doing. The sky is dirty gray. A layer of threatening clouds moves quickly across the horizon as I run along the side of the highway toward town. I'm full of extra energy. Whether it is from excitement or nerves, I can't really tell. But after being in the tent all day, it feels good to fill my lungs and pump my arms, even if the air is thick and sticky. I am happy to be taking action. I try to push away the memory of Archie's face as he bit into my cake. That heartbreaking look of disappointment, his eyes avoiding mine as he set down his fork. Instead, I plan what I'll wear tonight when I see him. A sweet floral skirt, or something sexier, perhaps. I think of the little black dress I brought on the off chance it could come in handy, and am grateful again that I overpacked. My run brings me to the edge of town I'd seen driving in. Town might not even be the right word for it. This isn't the real town, the one the crew stays in each night, which is 40 miles farther down the road. This place is barely a village, consisting of a small cluster of shops hugging the county highway. I slow to a walk, catching my breath as I go past an old gas station, a stubby strip mall with a yarn store, a loan center, and a Goodwill. I finally reach the diner. It is set back from the road with a parking lot. It looks empty and dark. But most important, what I am looking for is there, just like I remembered. I exhale, relieved. There is the phone booth. I look back over my shoulder at the empty road before I approach it. It is painted blue. A row of perforations on the side outline the shape of an old-fashioned telephone receiver. The sides of the booth are bubbled with rust. The door has been ripped off, so that only two jagged hinges remain intact. I step inside, careful not to press up against any of the dirty surfaces, and dig a coin out of the tiny pocket on my yoga pants, the one meant for keys that I've jammed full of all the quarters I could find in my purse. A cord holding the tattered remnants of an old phone book dangles from the bottom of the metal telephone box. I pick up the receiver, and there is a loud buzzing in my ear. I don't know what that means. I've never used a payphone before, much less a landline. I pray the sound is normal, that it means the phone is working. I push a quarter into the slot, listening to it drop down into the mechanism. I look around again to make sure there's no one watching. The parking lot is empty except for an abandoned shopping cart. I pull the heavy receiver to my ear. My fingers shake as I press Ben's phone number into the metal box. There are several rings, which make my heart leap. And then his voice floods into my ear, familiar as my own.
Hello?
It's me. I'm calling from a payphone, I reply, keeping my voice low.
Hannah? Hi. Are you okay? How was your bake today?
For a moment, I want to tell him about the cake, about how the buttercream wasn't flavored quite right, and how the cakes stuck in their molds. He knows more than anyone that I struggle with my buttercreams. Ben has eaten so many of my less-than-perfect bakes without complaining. But I shake it off, reminding myself of what I have to do. I swallow and get on with it, cupping the end of the receiver toward my mouth. Ben, I've met someone else. There's a pause on the line, and for a second, I think I've lost the connection. I picture him sitting at our tiny white IKEA table, drinking coffee from his favorite mug with the otter on it, the blinds twisted open to show a view of the parking lot next to our building. Hello? Ben?
I'm here, he says. I'm just trying to understand you. When you say, met someone else...
I'm sorry. I try to fight back the stinging that has sprung up in my eyes. I thought it wasn't fair to keep it from you.
Wow, Hannah.
There is a muffled exhalation followed by a heavy silence on the other end of the line.
Finally, he speaks again.
That was really fast. Is it another contestant?
I don't say anything. I look out at the restaurant. A battered pickup truck has parked next to the side door without me noticing, and the diner lights have popped on. I slump down along the side of the phone booth, pushing my back up against the glass.
I'm sorry, Ben. I love you so much. You know I do. It's just... things haven't been good with us for a long time.
Is that true? I feel like a fraud even as I say it. Things maybe haven't been good, but have they been bad? I push forward.
I'll move my things out just as soon as I'm back.
I think about how I'll be leaving for New York after this, probably. Or L.A. Archie spends a lot of time there, too, he says. He told me I'd love L.A., that I'd fit right in there.
Are you sure this is what you want? He asks me.
He isn't crying like I thought he'd be. He doesn't even seem too sad. His voice seems concerned. I try to be confident, but my voice wavers.
It's for the best.
I'm worried about you up there, Hannah. I don't want someone taking advantage of you.
No one is taking advantage of me. It comes out more shrill sounding than I mean for it to. This wasn't what I expected. I thought he'd be broken, begging for answers.
It must just not have sunk in all the way yet.
I push the knife in a little deeper, just to make sure he is understanding me.
We would never have worked out anyway, not in the long run.
I don't know why I am saying what I am. It's like I'm looking at myself talking from above. Inside the diner, I watch as a woman ties an apron around her waist. She takes her place behind a long counter and begins setting out fresh bottles of ketchup and jugs of maple syrup.
I could have ended up like that, I remind myself. Maybe not, he agrees.
His voice sounds so far away, and I get the feeling that the space between us is growing wider by the second. I have the urge to make it stop. To reach through the phone and take hold of him and grab him by the collar so that I can look into his eyes and see that I still matter to him.
We have different goals. We are totally different people, Ben.
I imagine him on the couch petting the dog. Will I miss getting slobbered on? I wouldn't have thought so. But I have a pang now, somewhere deep in my chest, an ache that grows more and more acute. I had never realized how safe I'd felt with Ben. Maybe I took it for granted.
Stop, Hannah, I scold myself. Where did staying safe ever get anyone?
I guess that might be true, Ben says. But I don't think you know my goals. We never really talked about them. We have always been so focused on your baking, there was never much space.
The way he says it is just so matter-of-fact. The lack of meanness in his voice makes it all the more heartbreaking. That can't be true. I scroll back through my memories, all the trips to the store so that I could make some recipe I just thought of, the daily tastings around the kitchen table. They're good memories. They must be. But I can't push back the other, less pleasant ones. The tantrums I'd thrown when something didn't go according to plan. The dark moods I would get into when I felt overwhelmed. The angry fits that led to broken dishes. But he'd known that wasn't who I was. That it was just a product of pushing so hard for so long in addition to working long hours. He must have. I would have listened if he had something interesting to say. I would have encouraged it. Wouldn't I?
Hannah?
His voice is soft, pleading. I brace myself. This will be him begging me to stay, telling me he has never loved anyone more. I lean back on the side of the booth, close my eyes, wait for it.
Yeah?
The distant voice again on the other end. It sounds so much older and more mature than I remember. I swallow the lump in my throat, try to contain it before it escapes into a sob.
Be careful, okay? The phone jingles as I return it to its cradle. It is done. The sky is swirling with heavy black clouds that threaten to explode as I jog back onto the main road, my heart pumping. I run faster and faster, past the strip mall, past the gas station, and back to the safety of the highway, where no one will see me and ask me what I'm doing. No one saw anything, I remind myself. And anyway, I'd look completely innocent to anyone who might see me now that I'm running again. I'm just a young blonde girl in a matching yoga set out for a motivating jog. But I can't shake the anxiety that has crept up on me, the taut ache that runs through my chest. I try to remember that it's a good thing it went over so well with Ben. I'm free to be with Archie now. But as I turn onto the narrow road past the sign pointing to Grafton Manor, I feel strange about the whole thing. Be careful? What does that even mean? I run down the drive, feeling the first few drops of rain on my arms. Suddenly, I'm furious with Ben. I was the one calling to break up with him. He doesn't get to turn around and act like he's the one worried about me. How dare he act like I need watching over like some pathetic little baby? I was so worried about hurting his feelings before, but now I'm glad I got to see what he has really thought of me all this time. That I am a spoiled child, incapable of making good choices for myself. I'll show him how wrong he is when I come out of this competition completely transformed. He'll see that he had no reason to worry about me when I'm a successful TV baker, when I'm Archie Morris's girlfriend.